Cholens is coming out?
Yeah.
The river's gonna start slow because we have the Cholens coming out.
I knew it had to come out because the vodka bottle is finished.
No, don't be impressed. It started finished.
Would you like some?
No, I'm fine. I had it for free. Thank you. I think whatever I had with my leg has to do with the vodka. La Briut. Thank you. I'd like to tell you something from Parashat Vaera, and then Rabriot, and then continue along the lines of what Rabbi Zef was saying, but I'd like to just first try to learn Pshat and Pasuk. First, Vaera. Because I had a very special experience last week that I would like to share with you. And then we'll go on to the Parashat Bo. Shmot Perek Vav Pasuk Vav. Very famous. Lachin emor livnei Yisrael, ani Hashem. Votzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, vitzalti etchem miavuratam, vogaalti etchem bezoan etuya v'shvatim gedolim, v'lakachti etchem li la'am v'ayiti lochem l'elokim. These are the four expressions of redemption. Arba l'shonot shel gula, the Gemara, Psachim, the last parak of the Sefer Psachim, Gemara prescribes four cups of wine based upon these four languages of redemption.
Stand up.
And for the challenge or for the people who made it?
People.
Now, from what I could go, do you have different chefs every week?
No, it's always different, guys.
They've developed a reputation for expertise, so...
Either that or that we're the ones who are reputed to be willing to be forced to do it every week. Otherwise,
for happy us. Ways.
You know, this can be very helpful for a shidduch. I know many women that are just looking for men who can make challenge.
Yeah, it's good to be able to clear the table as well. So
I heard the woman's happy if she can make the challenge, he can make everything else.
Yeah.
If
I heard
he does
the dishes. Never
happy. Yeah, we also clean the pot every week.
You do not hear properly, my friend. Thank you very much. You do not hear properly.
I could just be
doing it. Vo'teiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. I shall take you out from the sufferings in Egypt. That's the Egyptian Shoah, the Egyptian pogrom. V'itzalti etchem me'avodatam, and I'll take you out from the servitude. V'ga'alti etchem bezoan etuyah v'shvatim gidolim, and there will be great miracles accompanying your exodus, which is what happened. The 10 plagues. V'lakachti etchem li la'am, I will prove to you. I will prove to you that you are my nation that will never be destroyed, the Brit, that with all the difficulties in Mitzrayim, you will still remain a nation. So these are four promises of redemption, of taking out. But there's a fifth phrase as well, correct? והבאתי אתכם אל הארץ אשר נשאתי את ידי לתת אותה לאברהם ליצחק וליעקב. I will bring you to the land which I have lifted my hand in oath to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. ונתתי אותם Otah lachem morasha. I gave it to you as a morasha, as a heritage. I am the Lord. What's the difference between morasha and yerusha?
Morasha?
Yeah, what do you mean by causative exactly, Hefiel? What does that mean?
Morasha is like
handing it off
to pass it. And yerusha is to inherit.
That's right. In other words, if I get a yerusha, I can waste it. I can, if I get, let's say, a silver cup for a yerusha, I can melt down the silver and do whatever I want with it. It's like a check. I know many people, they're very lucky that their fathers were born before they were, so therefore their fathers were rich and they were rich. Had they been born before their fathers, they certainly wouldn't have been rich. I'm not sure about their fathers. But sometimes you can get a yerusha and you could just waste it. That's okay. That's your yerusha. A morasha, if somebody leaves you, if a grandparent leaves you a kiddush cup or Shabbos lights, candelabra. I'm fine, thank you. It would certainly not be expected that you would melt it down and take the gold or the silver and use it for anything. So right, a morasha, you have a trust to give it on from generation to generation. And two things are called morasha in the Torah. Number one, Eretz Yisrael, in this passage that I've just read. And the other is Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha kihilat Yaakov, in Hazir. But how come there are four expressions of redemption, four cups of wine, when in actuality there are five expressions of redemption? Right? Votseti. The Hitzalti, the Goalti, the Lakachti, the Heveti. So if there are four, if there are five expressions of redemption, why don't I drink five cups of wine? Then,
why don't you?
Thoughtful. Why don't you?
Well, you
I do.
You drink five cups of wine.
I do.
So.
Why don't most Jews?
You're going to ruin the end of your Haggadah.
Yeah. The middle, actually.
Oh, the middle.
Is the fifth cup referring perhaps to an unfulfilled aspect of redemption?
Good. The fifth cup was referring to an unfulfilled aspect of redemption. When they came out of Egypt, they did not yet go to Israel. It took another generation, another 40 years, actually. So, therefore, the four cups. Good. Nevertheless, there were five promises. Because at this point, when this was stated, nothing was happening. Therefore, there's a difference of opinion in the Gemara. Maybe you should have five cups, maybe not. So whenever there's a difference of opinion in the Gemara, we try to make some kind of a pshara if we can. And what's the pshara on Leil HaSeder? What's the pshara?
Eliyahu's
cup. So we don't get to drink it, but Eliyahu drinks it, I guess. Now, as some of you have already second-guessed, which is true, there were many voices when we came to Medinat Yisrael that argued that we should have a fifth cup. Because the fifth cup has been realized. The fifth promise has been realized. And the truth is that that I do that. I mean, that's what I suggest in the Haggadah, and that's what I do. The most important voice, from my point of view, who was raised along these lines, was that of Rav Menachem Kasher. Anybody know what he wrote, Rav Menachem Kasher?
Torah Shleima.
Among many things, the Torah Shleima, which is probably the most magnificent interpretation of the Chumash ever written. Compendium of all the Midrashim. Rav Menachem Kasher.
It's the big
Kafshi and Resh.
Many volumes.
And the Divrei Menachem is Shutim, Shelot Tshuvot, also very, very, very good. His father-in-law, by the way, Rav Menachem Kasher's father-in-law, was the one who put out the Sefer HaMitzvot to the Rambam, Rav Chaim Heller. The Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam, newly translated and annotated with a Perush from the Hebrew, because most of the Sefer HaMitzvot that we have is from the his is from the Arabic. What we have is from a Hebrew translation. So he attempted to really give the proper kind of interpretation to the Rambam's words based upon the original Arabic, which was the language in which the Rambam originally penned the Sefer HaMitzvot. And Rav Chaim Heller was my Rebbe's Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik's Rebbe, when he went to Berlin, when he was during that period in Berlin. At any rate, Rav Kasher brings a very formidable case based upon the Gaonim, and the Gaonim were the first generation after the Amoraim, where the Gaonim all call for 5 cups of wine. Even then, the Gaonim call for 5 cups of wine. And they basically make their case on the Mishnah in Psachim. Psachim, Psachim? Could be a Mishnah Pesachim either.
I got one now.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. They can only make their case in a very interesting fashion. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet. The Mishnah says as follows: Mazgulo Koshlishi, to pour the third cup. Mavorech Al Mizono, and that's Birkat Hamazon. Revi'i gomer alav et halel va omer alav birkat hashir. The fourth cup, you finish halel and you say birkat hashishi, birkat hashir. Tosfot says, "V'lo garsinan chamishi omer alav halel hagadol or birkat hashir." Birkat hashir, the Gemara will make synonymous with halel hagadol. The fourth cup is halel, and after halel is halel hagadol. That starts with Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasdo. And includes Nishmat and Vayishtabach. So Tosfot brings a statement by Rav Yosef Krugelin that there was another Girsa which said Revi'i Omer Alav Halel, Hamishi Omer Alav Birkat Hashir or Halel Hagadol. Tosfot rejects that shita, that girsa. All of the Gaonim accept it. All the Gaonim that I know from Otsar HaGaonim. And Rav Kasha brings many that are even not in Otsar HaGaonim. Now, why is it logical to say that that's the correct girsa? That it's Revi'i Omer Halel and Hamishi Omer Alav Halel Hagadol? Do any of you know a certain principle in halacha? Pardon?
Malim
Kedusha? Wait a second. Gary Horowitz. Gary Horowitz was married a short while ago. 2 weeks ago. How many kosot were there under the chuppah? When you get married, your wedding, how many kosot under the chuppah there?
Three.
What are the three?
It's Erusin, Kedushin, and Shavira.
No. And Erusin, Kedushin is the same. Mm. Erusin and Kedushin. Nisuin. Right?
Yeah.
And Shavira. Because the wedding ceremony consists really of two separate ceremonies. The Kedushin ceremony, which is the betrothal or engagement, and the Nisuin, which is the marriage. And in the time of the Gemara, there was a year's gap between these two. And our cousins, our Arab cousins, still keep the year's gap. They have a betrothal, and then they make a big party, and then they wait a year. During that year, the Chatan builds a house for his bride. You didn't do that, Danny.
I've got an apartment, but it's in Sydney. I need to build a real house in Israel.
He built a caravan.
Yeah, Sydney is not.
Caravilla.
Sydney doesn't count. How can you compare anything in Sydney to the kind of houses we provide for you here?
Or tourist town.
I mean, after all.
Wouldn't be. I saw a movie where they actually had a Greek Orthodox Erusin ceremony, which was very similar as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And the ketubah is in the middle to show you that it's two separate ceremonies. But why not use the same cup of wine for the Kedushin and the Nisuin? The principle, as Rabbi Zev said, was Eino sin mitzvot chavilot chavilot. We don't make a mitzvah like, you know, pile. We don't pile things onto a mitzvah. Each mitzvah is for each one specific thing. So therefore, the first cup of wine is kiddush. The second cup of wine is makid. The third cup of wine is berakat hamazon. And the fourth cup of wine is halel. And if you're going to add Halel Hagadol, which is universal world redemption, that requires a fifth cup. And Eretz Yisrael is our ticket to world redemption. Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash, and all the nations will come, etc. the Rambam also says v'yesh l'kachat kos chamishi. It is proper. There are those who it is proper to, depending upon how you interpret it, take a fifth cup and then say Halel HaGadol. If you don't take the fifth cup, you don't say Halel HaGadol. But last week in the last year at our Seder, one of my grandchildren asked me, but if we have the fifth cup, why do we also have the cup for Eliyahu? Good question, right? We say Eliyahu is a kind of a shara, right? He sort of was a compromise. Whether we have the fifth cup, we don't have the fifth cup. So we now have the fifth cup. So why keep the cup for Eliyahu? My grandson asked me the question, and I promised him that Bezrat Hashem, we should all live and be well. Next Pesach Seder, I will answer the question. I thought it was a very good question, and I thought it required lengthier explanation. Lo and behold, this past Friday morning, a week ago Friday morning, tomorrow morning, I was invited to Natan Sharansky's daughter's wedding in Yerushalayim. And Natan Sharansky answered the question. So that's what I really want to tell you. It was an amazing wedding. And it took me 2 days, so I was under the impact of the wedding. It was in Ramat Rachel, in Yerushalayim. Now, just a little bit of an introduction. During the years that I was learning for Smicha, and the first decade of my rabbinate, those years, in terms of public posture, were formed and directed by the Soviet Jewry movement. And look, I would never say that I don't have doubts. I've wrestled with many issues. I've come to conclusions that at least I satisfied myself with, but that doesn't mean that I think that they're perfect, that by a long shot. With one of those issues I'm dealing with the Smicha guys every week, the whole question of Tzadik Varalo with the Odyssey and a very, very difficult funeral this morning of a marvelous 22-year-old girl who was killed in the car. 1 o'clock yesterday morning. 1 o'clock this morning. There must have been 1,300 people at a funeral. It's very difficult. But what I can say is I have far fewer questions now than I had when I was your age. Not because I've stopped thinking. There are people who stop thinking at a certain point. I hope that's not the case with me. But because many things come into focus, you know, as you grow in years and in experience, many things come into focus. One thing I really do believe, you know, that the halacha is that you have to say the first bracha of the Amidah b'Kavana. Bracha to Hashem, Elokeinu Melekeinu Avotenu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Bakel HaGadol HaGibor VaNora Kelvion, Kobel Chasdim Tovim Mekonei Akol, V'Zocher Chasdei Avot, U'Mevi Goel Lefnei V'Nehem L'Man Shemo V'Yahava. God is our Redeemer. And God will always redeem us. I believe that bracha. I have no difficulty saying that bracha with Kavana. I don't tell you I don't have difficulty with prayer. I do. But not with that bracha. I think I believe so deeply that God is the Redeemer, as a consequence of this experience in the Soviet Union. I just want to say one thing in parenthesis. I am absolutely against the hundreds of millions of dollars that were put into the Holocaust memorials. I understand them, because people don't have grave sites to pray over, those who were murdered in the Shoah. They need some place with monuments, with names, with something. But nevertheless, I don't want the Jews to be pictured as losers. And the Holocaust, we were victims and losers. And God, by definition, for us, is a redeemer. And what God promises is he will see to it that we're never destroyed as a nation. Well, he certainly stepped in. And after the Holocaust, the Jewish state was developed. Now, if you ask me, is it worth it? It's not worth it. In the sum total of things, I would have preferred no Holocaust and no state. However, the Holocaust was not done by God, and not chosen by us. It was done by the Goyim to us. And what we do see post-Holocaust is that God keeps his promise that we will never be destroyed, and steps in. So Yad Vashem, I understand very well, because it's in the backdrop of Medinat Yisrael, and shows you that God is basically still a redeemer. But you go to many of these places like Washington, which is very well done, but it leaves you with just a sense of despair. And that's true of Holocaust studies in many universities, where that's the major study of Jewish, of Judaism, is Holocaust studies. And I don't think that's a proper picture of God vis-a-vis Jewish theology or Jewish history. And I think in the long run, very few people want to identify with victims. They want to identify with winners. Be that as it may, my early adult experience was bound up with the Soviet Union movement that was in Israel in 1661. The summer that I was in Israel, somebody came to see me named Yaakov Birnbaum. His grandfather was a British Jew, Chozer B'Tshuva, who coined the term Zionism for the modern nationalist movement among the Jewish people. His grandson, Yaakov, somehow got to visit behind the Iron Curtain, Soviet Union, and came out sparked Meshugal Davar Echad with the idea that we have to somehow galvanize support for them, we have to give them a voice, they can't speak out, they can't tell us their plight, we have to get them out. And he somehow grabbed on to me. The woman who we eventually married was very actively involved in my shul. That was 2 years later. He was very much involved in my shul. Glenn Richter was somebody else who was very much involved in the early years of Soviet Jewry. We would be 20, 30, 40 crazies who went out to demonstrate, but ultimately in 1970 it swelled to 100,000. And we won. There was a number of doctorates that were written during this past year trying to prove that it was the Soviet Jewry movement that began the first kink in the armor of the Iron Curtain, and which was ultimately responsible for the fall of the Iron Curtain altogether. Going to Sharansky's daughter's wedding, and Sharansky was later, in other words, the big Russian dissident that I was very much involved with freeing was someone named Vanya Riegerman. Sharansky got out, I think, in 83, the year that I made Aliyah to Israel. Rabbi Weiss, Rabbi Avi Weiss, had then taken over. Rabbi Weiss is younger than I am. So I was the head of the student struggle, the Soviet Jewry, and the Center for Russian Jewry. And then, probably in 1979, 1980, when I was then very, very much absorbed and taken up with Israel, Rabbi Weiss took over those organizations. And he was the one who shepherded Avital Sharansky around, and therefore he had the seventh bracha under the chuppah. And Sharansky has become a symbol. You should read his book, Fear No Evil. It's a very important book, an autobiography. President Bush loves him. And he's become a symbol, really, of the Jewish fight for democracy and freedom all over the world, especially behind the Iron Curtain, and victory. Got out. You're a minister in Israel. He would always quip. The difference between him and the other ministers is that the other ministers, that he was in jail before he became a minister. He's a very good guy. He's really a very, very good guy. Anyway, last Friday morning was like a dream for me. I went to Ramat Rachel and I saw so many familiar faces and so many people who we had fought together and demonstrated together. I hadn't seen them, many of them, for many years. Lenore Richter, Glenn Richter's wife, was there. Yaakov Birnbaum's wife was there. Frieda Birnbaum. I had married them, actually. I married both of those couples. And it was it brought back a lot of very, very pleasant memories. Right before the breaking of the glass, Sharansky spoke. And he said that standing under the chuppah, he couldn't help but remember his wedding 34 years ago to Avital from the house of Stiglitz. And he said that he was married to Avital in a one-room apartment, hidden away. There were just 10 men. The chuppah was a sheet. He said that four people who were much taller than he held the law. Right? Held the law. I like him because I feel we see eye to eye. They held up a sheet, he said. And there was a rabbi whom he had never seen before and never saw since. The rabbi told him to repeat after him. Harei Atni repeated after. He had no notion of what he was doing and what the ceremony was about. Until the breaking of the glass, he said, that he did identify with. Because the breaking of the glass symbolizes Jewish tragedy since the destruction of the Holy Temple. And Jewish dream of a return to Zion. Jerusalem. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I hold thee, Jerusalem, not above my chiefest joy. So he said the one thing he identified with that time, 34 years ago, was the breaking of the glass. Because he realized he was part of a history, of a tradition of Jewish dissidents who rebelled against the status quo in their dream to return to Jerusalem. And he said, and we did it. And we returned. And he said, my daughter is being married in Ramat Rachel, overlooking Kever Rachel. And she's building her house in Jerusalem. We're here. We live here. We made it. We got out. So he said, so why am I breaking the glass? Why is my son-in-law now going to break the glass? It's no Corbin anymore. We're living in Jerusalem. And he turned to the young couple and he said, but your task is far greater than mine. Because I had to get out. And I got out. And I had to arrive, and we even arrived. But your challenge is after you've arrived to still keep the green going. To keep the vision alive, because it's not just getting to Israel, Vahibeti, that's the point. The point is uniting Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Yerushalayim below, with the Yerushalayim Shalmala, the Yerushalayim above. The real challenge is protecting Jerusalem. Making sure that we hold on to Jerusalem. Making sure that we hold on to the dream of Jerusalem, which is the dream of world peace. And our mission in spreading that world peace. We have a tremendous job to do, he said. That has not yet been done. We're not in the post-Zionist mode. We're in the Zionist mode. We have to make sure that Zion, that Yerushalayim, is what we want it to be. And what the world needs it to be if it's going to be a free world. So that's why he said, I'm now going to ask my son-in-law to break the glass. And I thought to myself, and now I know exactly what to answer my grandson this Pesach. That's why we still drink a cup of Eliyahu, even though we take five cups. Even after we've arrived here, but hey, we still have to drink to redemption. Okay, perfect timing. Shabbat shalom.
That was appropriate.
Pardon?